This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello again and welcome to the podcast. And after an off-season away, our preview show is back. Joining me to discuss some of the selected games are Michael Brown and Neil Danz. How are we both doing, lads?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, mate. All good.
Good stuff, good stuff. Firstly, the transfer window for the Sky Bet Championship has just closed. Michael, a lot of business has been done, but who do you believe have made the best moves?
It's such a difficult one. You know, I just started having a look at the actual activity in the Championship. Yes, you still sort of say they are feeding other the Premiership sides, bringing more money in than they're actually spending in the Championship. But the spend has been, you know, quite strong. You just look at West Bromwich Albion, £8 million on Kenneth Sahore from Cardiff. There's notably a standout one for me. So, you know, teams are spending £10-12 million. Stoke City, a complete refit. Yet again, they're trying to bring some experienced Championship players in as you try to mould. We've seen Leeds United obviously go in the loan market. And that's the interesting one. It's that financial, you know, where they can take things. You know, Derby County, we've seen Bielik, who had a successful season last year with Charlton, move across to Derby. So, yeah, with the likes of Kieran Dowell joining, obviously notable Wayne Rooney. So it's exciting Championships. That's what it is. Who's going to be the outright sort of doing the best business? Only time will tell. You just look at last season saying, well, who were favourites, who actually finished, you know, around the top. And that's the problem. It's going to be that week in, week out team ethic. And yes, you spend a lot of money, but it's exciting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Neil, obviously one of the biggest moves, though, has been that of Wayne Rooney joining Derby in January as a player coach. What will he bring to the Championship, do you believe?
I think not just as a player, but I think even just the attention Wayne Rooney will bring to the Championship is a benefit to the league. I mean, you're going to have eyes from all over the world waiting to see Wayne Rooney make his debut. And I mean, we all know the quality Wayne Rooney has. I mean, he's not still at the Wayne Rooney that we all once knew at his peak, but I'm still sure he will offer a lot of quality, and I'm sure he'll settle in really well. And that'll also, it's going to help the young players at Derby County. I mean, to have a player like Wayne Rooney around the place is invaluable in itself, and I'm sure he'll do really, really well there.
Yeah, Michael, coming over from playing in the MLS, of course, will he be able to adapt to the Championship? Obviously, a different, a difficult league that it is.
Do you know, I've looked and I've spoke to Wayne a couple of occasions about his experiences out in the US, and we underestimate him, do you know, to what he's done in his playing career. You're thinking, is it going to be the end of his career over in Washington? But he's gone on and took that. He's improved the league. He's improved his squad. And that's what Derby County be. You can see why Mel Morris wanted to actually bring him to the football club. He probably sees him as a future manager, like he's just done with Frank Lampard. So he will play. He will play at times. And yes, it will be different. He might not play, as he said in his interview, every single game. He will want to play a lot of those games. He's very knowledgeable, as we know, and he might want to drop into a deeper lying position. But I reckon the aura that he's had walking in that football club has given them a huge boost. And when he does that over, yes, it's November they finish, so I would imagine he'll be in and around the football club come end of November, December, ready to go in January.
Yeah, Neil, from a player's point of view now, when you know you're going to come up against a player like Wayne, with that sort of pedigree, how much does that excite you?
Do you know what? When you step on a pitch and you know Wayne Rooney's playing, you automatically up your game that extra percent, because it's, even though, like I said, Wayne's probably not at his peak now, he still has so much to offer, and there's probably been no sort of winner like Wayne Rooney in the Prem. We all know how physical he is. He's a winner by nature, and every single player will know that.
He'll keep playing, Danzy. You know he will, and he's a winner. Like I say, he's not missed a training session out there. He's came back. His family are over here. So it's great for him personally that he can come back with his family, settle in the area again, and concentrate now on, you know, a different stage of his career. I bet he's really looking forward to it. He's had that project out there. He's thoroughly enjoyed it. But to come back and start looking, you know, he's probably watching Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, John Terry, etc., go into these managerial roles, and he's probably looking forward to getting that sort of, you know, that sort of, I don't know, just that ability to start using his voice, to be on the training ground while just finishing his playing career. So I think it fits very, very well.
Yeah, Michael, let's actually get on to the matches now. We've picked a fixture from each league to feature, starting in the Championship and the early kickoff between Leeds and Nottingham Forest. How impressed have you been by Leeds last weekend? A lot of expectation on their shoulders, of course, as favourites for promotion, and they really delivered, didn't they?
Well, they did, because at the end of last season, they were in such a good position. I did the game against Sheffield United, and that was the game they'd done very, very well in the first half. And that was probably the main turning point, that they didn't score goals, they didn't put it in the net. And you could see Bamford was criticised heavily for that, and the football club relying a lot on Kemar Roof, who, yes, they've gone out and lost him. And it was a great positive performance against an improving Bristol City side. And they think they'll be delighted. It's, you know as well as everybody there, Danzy, when Leeds United get a good start, the feeling and the crowd, and that's a huge benefit for them. It just tailed away towards the end. Great reaction, brilliant start. What a goal from Hernandez.
Yeah, Neil, is that something that is difficult going into a season, knowing your favourites, though? I mean, like we saw with Stoke last season, were the same, and they didn't deliver. Actually, Leeds were the ones that beat them on the opening day, 3-0.
Yeah, I think as Michael will know, it can sometimes be a pressure, but it depends on what type of characters you've got around the place. Some people can fold under that sort of pressure, but if you get the right characters, then they seem to thrive on it. And just having that pressure gives them that extra edge. So for me, like I say, it can be difficult, but I'm sure the players that Leeds have, they've been through it last season. They never quite got there, but that'll boil down to experience now, and they've got that experience. So I'm sure they've got real quality there, and obviously a great manager there. So I'm sure this season they'll be looking to go that one step further.
Yeah, Michael, last week things started so well for Forest against West Brom, but a few goalkeeping errors really did cost them. You know, how would the manager react to that? Savery Lamouchi feel he might have to drop Aaron Muric maybe after that?
But you look at Muric, he's coming from Manchester City. He's had a little bit of a taste for the first team last season. I watched him a couple of times, and it is a different style. As I say, Manchester City will control possession. He's been used to a very possession base, but this is what will do him good. This is the type of, you know, sort of blooding that he needs week in, week out playing. And I'm sure the deal will be heavily in their favour at Nottingham Forest to play Muric. They wouldn't have wanted to loan him and not to sort of guarantee him to play. Yes, they can always take that away from him, but I think he'll stick with him. I think he's made those mistakes, but it's now how he can recover. He's obviously been training with the best goalkeepers in the world for many years now, and it's time for him now to step up and deliver. Yes, they'll be disappointed because they actually done well in the game, but this is the Championship. I listened to other managers last week who said they should have won the game and didn't. That's definitely what the Championship brings.
Yeah, Neil, how difficult, though, is it for the rest of the players in that situation, knowing that the goalkeeper that you have has made errors and maybe cost you a result? Is that difficult to take for players, or do you really have to get behind the keeper in that situation?
No, I think you definitely get behind the keeper. I mean, he's at Manchester City for a reason. He's obviously thought highly of over there. And the players will have seen him in training and know exactly what he's capable of. And let's be honest, mistakes can happen to any of us in a game, and that's probably what's happened to him. But at the end of the day, he's come out for experience, and that is part of the experience. And now he's got to prove that he can bounce back from them sorts of mistakes. And I'm sure that'll stand him in good stead for not just now, but for the rest of his career. So I'm sure the players will get behind him, and he'll be looking to show the fans what he's really capable of in the next game.
Hey, Danzy, what happens is when you make that mistake on the pitch, there's nothing worse, is there? You've made the mistake, you're thinking, oh no, everyone's looking at you, your teammates, there's no hiding place, and you're just waiting for the next game to put it right, or your next pass, or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
And there's no hiding place, but that type of thing is either going to make him, isn't it? You know, he's going to have to say, well, this is where it was.
Exactly.
That's a real bad day. How can I have that confidence to go on next week? And that there's no bigger test now to go to Elland Road in front of the cameras, live on TV, to show everyone. So the press is on him. Hopefully he can come out of it.
Yeah, of course, for keepers, though, as well, these mistakes are really highlighted, aren't they?
Yeah, they are highlighted. And like you say, we can afford to make a few bad passes and your teammate can get you out of trouble. But obviously, when a keeper makes a mistake, it's there for everyone to see. But like Michael said, the real test now is at Elland Road. I'm sure them fans won't be too they won't be too nice to him and that there will be a few chances. But that's what he's come there. He's come there to get the experience, and no doubt he's already started to get that already.
Yeah, Michael, going back to transfers, what did you make of Leeds' approach this window? A lot of loan players coming in and a lot of players going out the door as well.
Well, there was, you know, the mention, obviously, the new contract of Kemar Roofe. He led the line. Yes, he had injuries last season, but without him, they wouldn't have probably got where they were. And it looked like Bielsa had had him and made him into a better player. So I was surprised with that one. But, you know, you just look at their bench last week. They had Clark, Elioski and Costa. You know, that's on the bench for Leeds United. So they've got loans in. They've got great ability. We just mentioned there before, any of the leaders, who would actually drag the game? We know Cooper at central defence can obviously be a leader, but they don't have tons of players when it's difficult. That's what let them down last season. And possibly that would be one of the areas where they could have improved.
Yeah, Neil, one of the most important bits of business Leeds did will be keeping hold of Calvin Phillips. How much of a talent is he?
Yeah, he's an obvious talent. I mean, the last couple of years, he's really stood out to me. He's come through the academy. He represents everything Leeds about. And I think that's just as big as off the pitch than on the pitch as well. And like I say, I'm sure he'll go on to have another good season and build his stature once again.
What he does, Calvin Phillips, he can play central defence. He can play the holding midfield. He can play the attacking midfield. He can play right of a back three. Do you know, the amount of positions he's played for a young player, he's a brilliant talent. Yeah. And I know there was Premiership clubs bidding for him and Leeds United, and I'm talking £20 million. Leeds United have done well to keep hold of that talent. That's how much they really rate him. And hopefully, because he's a great lad, and hopefully he can continue his career.
You know, Michael, how invaluable them sort of players are. I mean, you only have to look at the likes of James Milner at Liverpool. Some people... Like with James, he goes under the radar, but he does such a fantastic job because he's there whenever you need him. And I think Calvin's that for Leeds. Wherever he's needed, he will fill in and do not just a job, but a very good job.
Michael, you've discussed it previously here, but I mean, for Forest at Elland Road, that hostile atmosphere, not an easy place to go and get a result against the odds for them, is it?
Well, it's not, but this is where you've got to see what type of team you are, because I went last season and I seen Norwich City do it, and I didn't expect them for 1 minute to go and do what they did. And that was probably the turning point. I realised that they were the real deal last year under that pressure. It was a full house. The expectation was high. And that's what it will be for Nottingham Forest. You know, there's always that uncertainty, a lot of manager change, player change. And, you know, at Forest, they've got a squad. Are they going to actually improve and do much better? Because they certainly should be.
Moving on to Skybet League One, and this one, a real massive match in all three divisions, probably one of the biggest matches, Ipswich taking on Sunderland. Neil, Sunderland only taking a point at home to Oxford on opening day. The pressure really is on them to take something in this one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when you're at a club like Sunderland, I mean, it's a huge club. It has a massive following. And to be playing in League One, really, for a club like Sunderland is a bit of a travesty. So every single game is massive pressure when you're playing there, because them fans expect. And it hasn't been a great last 4 or 5 years for Sunderland. So now they've come down to League One, the fans expect them to bounce up pretty sharpish. And like I say, this is now where you'll see the test of characters and the type of players Sunderland have signed, because we know that club definitely belongs in a higher division than League One. And it's, like I say, it's going to be a real test for them, but we will see if the players have that character.
Yeah, Michael, Ipswich did get that win on their opening day at Burton. How much will that have lifted the club after obviously an incredibly difficult season last year?
You know, it's a very difficult season. And yes, there's all that mentioned about Mick McCarthy, where they would be, what the football club is. You know, ultimately, going to Burton, a tough place to go, your first game of the season, albeit for a deflected goal, they actually got the result, got that win. And I heard somebody come on the radio and actually said, that's the greatest day he's had for many years as an Ipswich supporter. And I was actually shocked. But the point was, that's how bad it's been. He felt positive. He felt like he can go and watch a team that's, you know, hopefully going to win some games.
Yeah, Neil, one of Ipswich's star signings, though, is James Norwood, someone you'll know well from playing against him last season. Just how much of a threat do you believe he will be in League One this year?
Do you know what? I think he's going to be a real threat, because he's one of them players, when I played against him last season, he's just got that tenacity that will, it give any defenders problems. He's willing to run the line, the channels, do all the hard work that some strikers don't really want to do. And he's aggressive and really knows where the goal is as well. So I think that was a very good, shrewd bit of business by Ipswich. And I think he'll go on to have a really, really good season. And I wouldn't be surprised if these Championship clubs sniffing around him if Ipswich were not to get promoted.
Michael, you were at that League One playoff final, though, where Sunderland lost out to Charlton. Is there a danger of that match being a hangover for them this season? And did we see that maybe last weekend?
I'm not so sure last weekend, but, you know, just going back to that playoff final, it started very well. And the way to lose it, you could just see the deflation all around the stadium, all the players, and they did take it really tough. But this is the, you know, the problem is, you look at whoever's going to play at Sunderland, that's the game they're looking out for. A great stadium, great support. They're the team that people want to beat, and they've got to accept that. And you're still finding your feet. He's had more signings, some change around. Notably, Lee Cattermole has left the club, which was a strange one, because he, all at the end of last season, was how good Lee had done. He's Sunderland through and through, wanted to do well. So that was, does Lee want to go on and be back in the Championship at a different club, possibly, or abroad maybe? But these are the type of players you'd have expected him to do everything. You know, somebody who knows what Sunderland are about, and that was Lee Cattermole. So they're going to be in and around it, I'm sure. But as you know, it's very, very cruel, and Charlton managed to just play their way out of it.
Neil, looking at both teams, the level of expectation from both clubs, from the supporters, is obviously so, so high. Could that be a hindrance for them both?
Yeah, I think it could be a hindrance to maybe some of the players at the clubs, because, you know, Sunderland have made some good signings, but some signings that may not be used to that sort of pressure and the big crowds that Sunderland do draw in. I think Ipswich are in a better position to deal with that. They've got a lot of experience in there. They've still kept the likes of Freddie Sears. For me, it just seems like Ipswich will have that little bit of an edge, and that for me, yeah, I think Ipswich will deal with that a lot better than Sunderland.
Yeah, Michael, you've obviously had that situation, haven't you, where you've played for teams who've thought they've been in the wrong division, the fans especially. What's it like carrying that weight of expectation into every game you play?
Well, the first time I probably noticed was at Manchester City. He's a young player. We ended up in League One, and we were still averaging 26,000. Up towards Christmas, we were 12th. So you could see the pressure was mounting, the pressure was building, and we had a great run late on. And this is what was talked about. If Leeds United start well, if the club, you know, can you sustain it? But then if it falls away, the expectation's so high. And as you've seen it last year with Leeds, the pressure builds and then they struggled. But with us at Manchester City, remember, vividly in that year, one was the 99 promotion. We came late, so we had the charge on with us, and the confidence grew and grew with the atmosphere as well, and we managed to get through in the famous game at Wembley, the 99 playoff final. So that's what type of happened. So as a young age, I was used to it, and playing for Leeds United, especially under pressure, you knew you had 3,000 or 4,000, and we played Blackburn, it'd be 6,000 away fans, and that's what it was. It was always that they just want to do well, and the pressure's so high at Leeds United because of that timescales. They just really need to get that away from them and back into the Premier League.
How was it for you personally, though? Did you thrive on those sort of occasions, playing for those sort of football clubs with that pressure on you?
Do you know, if I'm honest, I was comfortable with it. I knew, I understood it. And if you were one of those, like, I mixed it up, as we know, here and there, Danzy, didn't I, just every now and then. So
yeah.
I could actually cope with that. But you've seen some other players, you can hear that, that boo, and you get on edge. And you can see some players can't play through. And that's what we just mentioned about Murek in goal. These are the tests of character if you're going to play long-term in this game.
Yeah, Neil, now moving on to League Two, and the match we're featuring this week is Grimsby taking on Bradford, a division you know well from your experience last season, of course, but a draw on the opening day at home to Cambridge. Just how disappointed will that Bradford dressing room be after what's been a positive off-season for the club, despite that relegation?
Yeah, I think they will be disappointed. They've brought in some real players that, personally, I think should be playing a higher level. The likes of James Vaughan, who I think will score a lot of goals in that division. The key is not to get too disappointed. I mean, we added the same last year at Bury. We didn't start off the season great in terms of points, but we were playing good football and we knew was going to turn. And I think that's what they have to do, is just keep believing. And like I say, they've made a lot of signings, so they're all still going to be getting used to playing with each other. And I'm sure the next few games, they will really gel. And I think they've just got a little bit too much quality in that team for that division. And I'm sure they'll be there or thereabouts.
You'd think so. Vaughan needs a few games, doesn't he? He needs to get some goals under his belt, and surely he'll go on and do well. You've got Palmer in midfield. So, you know, looking at Bradford, you would say with Gary Bowyer at the helm, they'd certainly, with the supporters and the crowd, again, it's another club with expectation, but that amount of ability and the manager know-how, you'd expect them to do well.
Yeah, like Michael said, that you'd like to think they've got too much. I mean, there's a lot of players that have played at high levels there. You've still got the likes of Sean Scannell, Hope Hakpan, who are still relatively young. So I find it surprising that they're in that division, but they're there for obviously a reason. Last season wasn't the greatest for them. But with that sort of talent, I'm definitely sure they'll be up there.
Yeah, Michael, you mentioned it there, but of course, Gary Bowyer in charge, won promotion from League Two before with Blackpool, the manager who seems to thrive in working in difficult situations. Obviously at Blackburn as well, he had a difficult situation in terms of how the club was going at that time. How much will that help the squad this season?
Well, it will help the squad. As a manager who knows it, this will be just a normal day for him, and the amount of adversity that he's had to deal through. He's a real football person, Gary. He's well-liked. He wants to do the job right. And you could see they made a positive appointment. Yes, he found it hard when they first went in, but I think he'll get this club back on track where they belong, higher up the league for sure. And, good football person. And, again, pressure on. They get huge gates, but they've got a good man who knows the leagues.
Yeah, and just to echo that, I was part of that team with Blackpool, and that was the first time playing under Gary Bowyer. I went on loan there in the January, and I think he's the perfect person for that squad. He's good at man management, and especially with a club like Bradford in the division they're in, I think that's vitally important, because he's got some big characters in there and people that have played at high levels. So you'd sometimes just need that calming voice that tells you you need to calm it down, or you need to up the game. And he's definitely one of them people that can get the results needed from players.
Yeah, Neil, I want to add as well onto that. For you, obviously, you've played in difficult situations in terms of like off the pitch difficulties. How did Gary manage that at the time when he was at Blackpool? Obviously, not an easy time for the club off the pitch as well.
Yeah, do you know what? It was unbelievable, because I mean, we were playing home games, and there was more away supporters than home fans. I think we was getting about 600 people at the games, and especially a stadium the size of Blackpool's, it's sometimes hard to generate that atmosphere that sometimes you need as the home side. But no, he basically just gave us all the right information that we needed, and basically told us that we can't affect what's going on off the pitch. The only thing we can affect is what's going on it. And like I say, it was really difficult situation, but he got the best out of us. And in times of hardship, he literally just kept us going.
I want to get your perspective on this as well, Dale. Grimsby's James Hansen has stated this week in the press that he won't be celebrating against his former club. What do you make of that? Something you've done?
Do you know what? I have done it, and sometimes I haven't done it. I think sometimes as footballers, we get caught in the moment.
How many goals have you scored?
100 now.
It's like he's gone against all the other teams. I love that, Danny.
100. Yeah, 100 now, mate. as I was saying, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment of a game. Like Michael said before, you might make a tackle on someone and it G's you up that much. It doesn't matter who you're playing against. If you score, you're going to let them know that you're thriving. And I think if that's the way he wants to go about it, then fair play to him. Everyone's different. And I don't know how you feel about it, Michael. I know you scored a few in your career as well. So what was your thing?
Do you know what? I tell you, there's only one time I think I've done it against my old club, which was actually for Sheffield United on my full debut against City. And I remember, it was Joe Royal. I didn't really get on with it. I'd left City to go to Sheffield United, and the first game of the weekend was against City at Bramall Lane. And I'm thinking, oh, I'll celebrate. What will I do? And Nick Summerby, who was obviously at Man City, said to me, whatever you do, mate, don't celebrate. It wasn't your fault why you moved. It was one of those things. and it was stuck with me. And after, I think it was 30 minutes or so, we scored and we won 1-0. And I walked very slowly just down past the technical area, and I didn't do it. So actually, it was the best bit of advice, because you know, you get emotional, don't you? You just want to show people that they were wrong to either not include you or whatever it may be. And that's what happens. And you see all the players just want to do well. They mostly like their old clubs. It's generally, it's either you move on for a better contract or a different environment, or you know, or just the one personnel who you don't get on with. And that's just football. But you know, you don't want to show disrespect, especially what, you know, Hansen won't want to be doing that, and that's understandable.
No regret from you though, Michael, you know, having, you mentioned there, you showed respect, but there must have been a massive urge for you to make a celebration in that circumstance.
Well, you just want to run crazy, don't you? Because you've just scored a goal, and it's not against the club. It's possibly, you know, the guy who sold you. You want to say, well, you know, you were wrong there. And but enough, it was sweet enough as I walked past in a very, very slow line to say, well, maybe I'll go on and do something else in my career. And that happens. And it's one of those. It's great emotions of highs and lows football. That's what we all love. When you lose 1 week, you go home. And then when you win the next, it's, you know, it's a great week to be around the training ground when you're in a successful environment.
Yeah, like I said, Michael will know. Sometimes it's happened to me where I've got that emotional that it almost feels like you black out when you celebrate. So, like you said, it's nothing against the following supporters. Sometimes it just happens where you come off the pitch and you can't even remember the goal you scored. So definitely, I think, like I say, you can show respect, but I think sometimes the fans shouldn't take it too personally, because sometimes it is just that emotion.
Yeah, Neil, as well, a win on the opening day for Grimsby at Morecambe, how much does that breed confidence for them getting off to a start like that? You know, they're not one of the favourites for promotion, but a win like that on the opening day must give them confidence.
Yeah, definitely, it will give them massive confidence. And I think if they're being real with themselves, they'll know that it's going to be a tough season for them. For them and Morecambe, and I think they probably see each other as competition, because obviously you're going to have the likes of Bradford, Plymouth playing in their own little leagues, and Grimsby. Seems like Grimsby and Morecambe have their own sort of little leagues, where, no disrespect to them teams, but it will be tough, I feel, for both sides. So I think that was a massive win for them. And if they can go on a little run early, then it could really kickstart their season.
Did you see Grimsby's goals, though? They'll want to play against Morecambe every week. I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's incredible goals that they got given. I mean, Whitehouse was just tapping across the goal. There was no defenders near him. The last one, the goalkeeper had gone up in the 97th minute. Rose, he was still up when the ball was coming back away for a simple tap-in. So they actually, the worst goals ever for Morecambe to give away. But as it's Grimsby will take it, they'll be looking forward to the game. And it should be a real good game.
Yeah, Michael, will that make them favourites though as well going into that game after that win, despite the, you know, Bradford being the favourites for promotion from the division? Having that opening day win will give them, like I said to Neil, massive confidence.
It'll give them confidence, but we've got to look and say, you know, Morecambe have predominantly struggled towards, you know, the bottom end of the table. So for me, Grimsby are not going to be favourites. I fancy Bradford to go on and win the game. When you've got these new signings, it takes a little bit of time to click, but I'm sure they'll be towards the top end of that table.
Guys, it's been fantastic having you both on. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Cheers.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.